Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 33 of Juvo Hub. My name is Jonathan Starr, and we are looking forward to an amazing show once again today. Mark Howell, my fantastic co-host, how are you?
I'm great, buddy. How are you doing?
Good, good. So we've added this new segment to our show. We'd love to provide just a quick tip to our audience from both Mark and I before we get into our fantastic and awesome guest of today. Mark, what is your tip?
You know, Jonathan, I think my tip today has to be about a class that I'm preparing covering self-awareness, self-management, and emotional intelligence. We've had many conversations about this, but for me, I encourage everyone to go out and educate yourself a little bit on emotional intelligence, not only for your professional life, but for your personal life, and find out what your story is, that self-awareness piece of it. There's something that lives inside of each of us that makes us behave the way that we do, right? And so once we figure out where that story started, where it went, where it's going, where it ends, then I think we can start to address why we might behave the way we do. Some of the conflicts that we have in our daily lives, whether that be, again, personal or professional. But there's an assessment, emotional intelligence, self-assessment tool online that I found. And it's just a quick, I think it's 20 questions. It breaks down different quadrants to where you fall and where you might need a little extra help to educate yourself. So do it. Let's all be more emotional intelligent, please.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent tip. Yeah, we've had some guests in the past that have talked about that subject. So excellent tip. We always need more help when it comes to emotional intelligence. So thank you for that. And for my tip, I'm the marketing nerd guy, but I love how you talked about storytelling. So my tip is regards to LinkedIn and what you can do to be more engaging on LinkedIn. So I get that question often. I don't know what to post on LinkedIn. What do I have to say? Tell a story. It's very easy. Talk about what you did. Give someone the high five. There's a kudos option with LinkedIn. There's so many different things that you can do. It doesn't necessarily just have to be a link. And I definitely don't recommend always promoting yourself because you will never get anywhere on LinkedIn. But just keep it simple. Tell a story. Give someone that high five, congratulate someone for a job change or a promotion. Just look for those opportunities. But the more you involve people that you're connected with on LinkedIn, the more you're going to see the benefits of that social network. So just keep at it, be consistent, and you will always have a great experience with your social network using LinkedIn. So that's my kind of marketing social networking tip of the week. So that brings us into our listens and reads of the week. So two episodes that I listened to this past couple of weeks. One was with Mindy Price, episode 15 of Multifamily Leaders, her podcast, Tips and Trends to Build a Rockstar Community with Robert Martinez. Boy, that guy has some energy. It was hard to keep up, but what he's done to build his business, a must listen. We will have the link in the show notes for that episode. And then I was listening to Apartments on the Go with Courtney Smith and Matt Rudlinger. I hope I didn't destroy your name, Matt, but I probably did. So I apologize. Episode 49 with one of my favorite people that I cannot wait to meet in person, Rommel Anakin, The Secrets of Winning with People. Fantastic show. Definitely a must listen. So check it out. We will have a link to that in the show notes as well. Without further ado, we are so grateful to have with us a fantastic guest, Gary Gregory. Gary, what's happening, my man? Good to have you on the show.
Hey, thank you so much, man. Mark, Jonathan, your tips were absolutely incredible. I love the emotional intelligence piece. I think that is such a critical conversation to really be self-aware. And then Jonathan, being on LinkedIn, what an incredible opportunity just to network and stay connected. Through social media, a valuable way to do that. And then your recommendations for the podcast are wonderful. I love Rommel Anakin. I've had a chance to listen to him a few times and just great information.
Absolutely. and kudos to our industry. Like, and we're going to get into that. Just that's why we have you on the show, Gary. I'm going to hold on the main reason why in just a second. We'll get to that. But it's like the industry is stepping up. We have so much resources out there. And, you know, Mark and I, we love our show, but I love all of the property management shows that are out there. So if I haven't, you know, if I haven't connected with your show or Mark hasn't, please share it with us. We would love to hear about it so that we can talk about it on this show. But for you, my friend, Gary, you are an author, a motivator, the director of operational initiatives at Steadfast Living. We are grateful to have you because you are an author of 2 books. And how fantastic is that? So it's like, yes, that is your contribution to our industry. Not only being busy with Steadfast, with that role, but also finding, you know, the time to be able to write books. So thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. My, I can't thank you enough for allowing me to be a part of this and being part of the educational process that you guys are providing, you know, the multifamily industry. How valuable is that? So thank you for letting me be a small part of that.
Perfect. Yeah. Welcome to the show. So let's, before we get into your book, which we're going to talk about that in a minute and show it a few times. And those who are listening on the podcast, we'll get to the title. What has it been like though, your career path, you know, being years in property management, give us a summation of what that journey has been like for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So my career path started in university housing. So I started at the University of Houston. I was one of the resident advisors there for the students. You know, it was free room, free board. So I was like, man, I got to jump on this. And so that was kind of my indoctrination into, you know, housing. And from there at the University of Houston, I grew. I was an assistant area coordinator over, you know, a lot of, don't like to say the word dorms, of residence housing.
Right.
And then moved over to Texas A&M Corpus Christi and had the opportunity to work privatized university housing with an amazing company. And, you know, after so many years in student housing, and if you've never done student housing, it is an unbelievable amount of work. It's incredibly fulfilling because you get to see the students grow and you see all the, you know, the opportunities, but it is a lot of work. And so after a number of years, I was like, you know what? I'm going to jump into multifamily housing. I want to kind of grow my career and change it up a little bit. So I jumped into multifamily housing, moved up to Dallas, Texas, and still living here. And, you know, started as a community manager in multifamily housing. And after a number of years, I was like, what am I doing? You know, I'm just kind of going through the flow. I'm a community manager. And then I realized, and Mark, this kind of touches on your point about emotional intelligence and being self-aware. I was like, I got to figure out what I got to do to grow myself. Otherwise, I'm just going to be in this role, community manager, for however long they keep me, but, you know, until they fire me or I retire. And so I really started working on myself. I was like, what do I have to do in order to grow my career? And so I really started working on, I started pulling in different things to grow my career. And eventually I was able to, you know, I moved to another company, became district manager. And then I was like, man, this is great. I kept working on myself, kept developing myself, became regional manager. And now I'm director of operational initiatives. And so, you know, that's just in a nutshell what my career has been. But, you know, it's incredible that, you know, we can be in this position and say, hey, what do I want to do more? How much more can I do? And if you apply that and really get into it and you're self-aware, just like you said, Mark, you can really figure out what you need to do in order to get to that next level.
Mm-hmm. That is a great story, you know, and I see how this leads into our next kind of question overall. Now you're an author. So was that something you always wanted to be? Do you feel like your experience, like the things that you went through in order to make that career path work out for you? What was that like? How did you get on the path of becoming an author and writing 2 books? I mean, that is so fantastic.
Well, thank you. So, and Jonathan, I'll tell you, I never dreamed that I would be an author. And in fact, when I was going through college, I had an English professor tell me after I turned in an essay, he's like, Gary, you are a terrible writer. And I was like, all right, I get it. I take it. Hopefully I've gotten better over the years. But, you know, that was my initial forte into writing. So it was never anything that I, you know, dreamed of becoming. But my bucket lists always evolve stemming from things that I try. I'm like, I want to try something. I want to do something new. I haven't done it before. Maybe I can be good at this. And so, you know, I tell a story is, you know, one time I was overweight. And so I was like, you know, I need to lose weight. So I went outside and walked around the block. I thought I was going to die after 10 minutes of walking, but I was like, you know what? I really like this. What else can I do? I ended up doing a 5K and I was like, all right, I'm getting into this. What else can I do? How can I work on myself that I can continue to do that? And so I ultimately went from, you know, walking outside the door, walking around the block to completing ultra marathons, doing an Ironman. I ended up becoming a professional or a sponsored triathlete. Right. Because I stepped my toe into something that I thought I could try. And so my bucket list evolved from that. And so getting back to your original question about, you know, becoming an author, I never really thought I would be an author, but at one point in time, I thought, Jonathan, again, this goes back to your LinkedIn conversation. I've got something I can say. I have a story. I have experiences that I would love to share with people. And so I wrote a post on LinkedIn. And then I had more experiences and I was like, maybe I'll write an article. And so I wrote an article and then another and then another. And then eventually I was like, you know what? This is evolving into a bucket list item. Mm-hmm. My bucket list is now I want to write a book because I've done these little things. And so I just worked through that. And I've got an incredible story about meeting the right person to help me get to that point where I could write a book. But it was, you know, I never planned out to be an author. It just kind of evolved and created itself as I realized I could do something. And then if I can do that one thing, what else can I do? How far can I take it? How far can I push it? And I just did. I pushed it until I became a best-selling number one new release author. And I was like, what else is next? What else can I do now? And then here I am with you guys. I'm like, I never thought I could be on a podcast. Yeah. You know, it's incredible. So I reached out to you guys and here I am. It's incredible what you can do if you just kind of like step out there and you know, push yourself.
Right.
I want to go back to your comment about working out or learning or training yourself to be you said triathlete. Is that right?
Triathlete. Yes, sir.
So I did not enjoy working out as a young person. It was like yard work to me. I hated it. Mm-hmm. And those people who say they get this runner's high or they just can't wait to get to the gym or they feel so energetic. I really don't think any of that stuff is true. I think somebody is making that up. Because I don't feel any of those things when I go to the gym. But I will say, Gary, I agree with you when you set your mind to at least try something. In this last year, I embraced working out and I embraced the idea of wanting, there was a result, right? So mm-hmm. I said, what do I want to change about my life? And how am I going to change that? And I knew that it involved physical exercise. Ugh. But I was like, we're going to do it. And I started working out. I worked out every day. And now I find that I actually do. I'm not going to use the word enjoy, but I actually do get up and get motivated to go because I'm liking the results. So right. For me, that process is, what do I need to do to get to the end result? You know, that final kind of hurrah. But mm-hmm. I totally get it. I think for me, I have to find out, it's like, you know, the piece of cake. I have to put the piece of cake somewhere way in the neighbor's yard to walk to get it. But that's my treat, you know?
Yeah.
It always has to have, for me, there has to be this great result out of it.
Right. But to get to that great result, there's always a process. And if you don't work through that process, then you don't get the result that you're hoping for. You may get some result, but you don't get that result that you're really hoping for. So anything that we do, whether it's, you know, working out, writing a book, our day-to-day career, if we don't work through that process to develop ourselves, to have that end goal in mind, then we're going to get something. It's just not going to be what we really, really wanted.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. You, Jonathan, you know our industry. It's funny. I try to tell people that when they start in leasing, you know, as you have done, Gary, you've moved into different positions. And so people get this fatigue or kind of stale mm-hmm. in the role that they're in, or maybe they work for an organization that doesn't have a lot of growth opportunity. And so I always say to them, like, don't worry about what's coming next. Focus on how you're going to get yourself there. And are you ready once you get there? Be the best you can be in that role. Learn everything you can about the other roles and keep mm-hmm. educating yourself. Go to conferences, listen, read more. But it's funny, you're right. It's the process, right? Right, it's the process that finally gets you to that result. I'm fascinated. I need a copy of your book.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you where to grab it later. But you know, and again, I think you know, there's that process. And if you know, if people feel like they're getting stale where they are, and they're just waiting for that next opportunity, but if they're not adding value to it, and you're waiting on the company to do it for you, you're going to be waiting for a long time. And so as you go through that process, you really have to give value. You have to give more than what's expected of you. Because if you just go through it, just kind of floating along, waiting for somebody else to do it for you, you're going to be waiting a long time.
Mm-hmm. For right. sure.
So it's interesting. There's, you both have kind of mentioned some items that really, from my perspective, you know, I totally resonate with, because we're busy. We're super busy. Mm-hmm. Like trying to add another routine, like Mark was talking about, you, and you were, Gary, exercise, triathlon, so much is on our plates already. So Gary, just your perspective, like I think from our audience, you're like, where in the world would I ever have time to write a book? I can barely get. So did you have those moments like, okay, yes, I want to be an author, but did those moments ever happen to you? And like, how did you deal with them? Like just trying to balance all those things out.
Absolutely. So the first step I took, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a full-time employee. So, you know, getting to that book piece, getting to that ultimate goal, going through the process, adding value through that process, it all takes intentionality. And, you know, you said that, Jonathan, I'm so busy, but are you really? If you really look at, and this is something that it took me, I had to identify my why. Why do I want to write a book? Mm-hmm. Okay. And once I identified that why, it made the how, the investigating, how am I going to do this? Where am I going to find the time? And I did that because, you know, I found the time through looking at what am I spending my time on in the day? You know, it's so easy to say we're busy, but if you look at what you're doing through the day, are you binge watching Netflix? Are you scrolling through, you know, all the social media? And I admit, I scroll through, I waste a lot of time on social media. I love LinkedIn. I spend time there, but I find value in that. But if you really get down and look at where are you spending your time and you eliminate some of that fluff, you know, binge watching Netflix, just scrolling through Facebook or not doing something productive, not doing something that adds value, then you'll really find your time and you'll make that time. You will carve out that time for the things that you want to get to. Like when you exercise, you realize there's a result you want to get to. That's the why. And then how are you going to do it? That's how you start kind of carving out that time. And then you initiate it. You just, you know, hey, here's my time. Early mornings, I have to get up, either go work out, or I'm going to spend some time developing myself, or I'm going to spend some time writing on this book. And then, you know, there's some weekends that I spent writing the book because I knew it was something that I wanted to do. I was intentional about it and I carved the time out. So if it's really something you want to do, whether it's working out, whether it's writing a book, or whether it's, you know, developing yourself so that you can get to that next level, you're going to find time for it and you will carve out that time and you'll stay dedicated to get it done. It's just what it is. You know, we've all got time. We've all got the same amount of time in a day. It's just what you do with it, what you choose to do with that time.
Yeah. I agree. I totally agree. I'm glad you said that to us and to our audience, because yeah, there's lots of busy things we can be involved in, but I look back over my life and anything that I really wanted to do, you know, I've gotten it done. And I think it's changed over time for me, like, you know, going from having two children to those two children are now grown and have left home. I would say there's a significant difference in what I do with my time from those two, you know, time periods in my life. So I think having those goals for where I'm at right now in my life, in my career, in my relationships, you know, those are things that we look forward to. It was like my wife and I had the post children plan. Not that we're trying to get rid of our kids, we love both of our children. But it was definitely that, okay, where do we want to be? What do we want to do? And how are we going to get there? What's it going to take to be successful along that journey? You know, Mark, what do you think?
Look, yeah, something resonated with me when you said, what are you really doing with your time? And I have actually been telling myself the binge watching of Netflix shows has gotten a little out of control. And I will admit I could spend a lot more time and on my, you know, professional career writing content. And so I had to tell myself that you need to change this process. This, you know, I guess we think, oh, it's 5:30, 6 o'clock, time to shut down the computer. Let's start binge watching.
Right.
TikTok is a devil for me too. I can stay up all night watching TikTok. And so I have decided that, you know, for that first maybe hour or so when I think it's time to shut the computer down, that's when I might do a little extra research or read in a book, fill my mind with something that might be a little more positive, more influential, I guess, because we can fall into traps where before you know it, you've binge watched an entire series, you haven't showered in days, and you know, you haven't left the couch, it's the whole weekend. It's a mindset, right? Mm-hmm. It is truly, what is it that you want to accomplish? And I agree wholeheartedly. I kind of started to digress in my mind about all the bad things that I actually do waste time on. So you've made me wake up a little bit.
and Jonathan, I think Mark, you hit it right on the head. Is what's the choice that we're making? Mm. I mean, we can choose to go fill our mind with Netflix, and I'm guilty of it. I've binge watched some amazing shows on Netflix and all the other subscription services. So I'm totally guilty with it, but it was a choice I made to fill my mind with that show versus filling my mind with some content that's going to provide value to me. Something that's going to give me an opportunity to grow myself, elevate who I am as a person and the value that I can give others. And, you know, you do those things to elevate yourself. And then eventually the result of that is you elevate your career opportunities. You elevate your, you know, your overall skill set opportunities. You know, you can do that through filling your mind with great content to provide value, or you can fill your mind with great content from Netflix. It's entertaining, but what's it going to do for you except, you know, make you smile, laugh, cry, or, you know, something else in the moment.
That's right. It's very true.
Yeah. So, I mean, that leads to your book, right, Gary?
My favorite subject.
Yeah, the super fantastic process, you know, available on Amazon. I bought my own copy, looking forward to diving into it. So again, congratulations on being a published author. So just give us an idea. What's the book about? What's its focus? Give us a kind of a summary of what people can expect when they buy your book.
Absolutely. So the Super Fantastic Process is a follow-up to my first book, The Super Fantastic Principles. So the process is essentially a way to create a process or to recognize or to follow a process to elevate your leadership skill set. And I do this in there. I do this through, you know, you have to start with you. And we've been talking about this for a little bit. When you start with you, to start figuring out what you need to do to create value for yourself so you can create value for others. That's what I call an internal leadership approach. And then once you start developing yourself, you start building yourself through that internal leadership, you can start exhibiting that leadership. and you share it with other people. You create that environment where, you know, hey, I'm developing myself, and now I have an opportunity to exhibit leadership with others, a valuable leadership. And when you do that, you create overall leadership. And this is where you start multiplying the leadership within your team. But it has to go through that process. And it has to, it all ties together in a process. A lot of people will skip through the process and they'll just jump into external leadership. You know, they're like, oh, I think I know what I'm doing. Let me just lead these people the way I think I know it is. But unless you spend time developing yourself, if you skip that step, your external leadership is not going to create overall leadership. You're not going to multiply your leadership efforts within your team. And so I give you that process within the book to develop yourself and help you along the way so that you can ultimately start multiplying leadership. And these stories, these methods or the processes that I share in the book is, you know, it stems from, you know, I've been in this industry for over 20 years. And so I've got a lot of experiences. I've seen a lot of things. I've observed a lot of different leaders in my career path. And so I take a lot of the lessons, the best things that I've learned along my 20 plus years, and I've put it in the book and I've applied these things. These are certain processes that I've applied myself, and it's helped me once I made that decision to say, hey, I want to elevate my career. I want to do more than just this. I start applying these things, and it's, you know, within a relatively short amount of time, I've gotten to this point. I'm not done yet.
Yeah.
And so this is an ongoing process. And I talk about that in the book, where internal leadership, external leadership, and overall leadership is the process to get you to the next level.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, I can't wait. Looking through the chapter titles, you know, they all resonate, just real simple, but they seem impactful. So I won't take that away. We'll let people get and see the titles. But there's another thing on the cover of the book. You mentioned becoming a salt of the earth leader. So that's a compelling a comment in relation to the title. So what can you tell our audience? Like, what, how did that come into play as being, you know, part of the title description of your book?
Absolutely. So this came, you know, this came from my first book, The Super Fantastic Principles. It's becoming a salt of the earth person. And so we've all heard of that phrase, a salt of the earth person, but really, what does it mean? Where does it come from? Why would they call somebody a salt of the earth person? And so in the first book, I did research on where that phrase came from. What does it really mean to be a salt of the earth person? What does salt even mean? Why would we use salt? And through that research, I found that salt has four basic components. One, it creates balance. It adds flavor. It provides value, and it preserves. And so through those principles, becoming a salt of the earth person, you can start the next level of becoming a salt of the earth leader. And so you apply these principles of salt to your leadership, and it helps you create a think, speak, act into positive leadership, because what you put in your mind is going to influence what you speak, that'll ultimately influence how you act. And so whatever you're putting in your mind, whether you're binge watching Netflix or whether you're binge watching positive, valuable content, that's going to impact the way you think, the way you speak, and the way you act. And it all comes from that principles of salt. And it's, you know, it's fascinating the things that they used to use salt for. And I love how it applies to even today. I mean, the things that we do, the way that we think, speak, and act, it really does apply. And so I love that phrase, being a salt of the earth person. And I pulled it out of the first book and, you know, applied it to becoming a salt of the earth leader. There really is a way that you can become such a valuable leader through this process. And so that's where that title came from, or subtitle, shall I say.
Yeah. No, that's great. It's a great analogy. I love it. Thanks for explaining that, because that really provides some depth to that overall process. I've heard that expression a few times over my life. So it's one that resonates well with me. So very, very
fascinating backstory on the use of salt, where it came from. And I'm like, and it was just one of those things that just kind of happened to pop up. And I, once I did the research on it and kind of, you know, really dug into it, it was truly fascinating what salt meant, what that phrase meant, and kind of applying that to today and what we can use, how we can become a better person through being a salty person. And I talk about that, you know, I encourage people to be a salty person, be a salty leader. And I think that's an incredible compliment when somebody says, hey, you're pretty salty. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate that.
People have a little newer definition of being salty, I think, these days than
right.
The definition of funny.
Right.
I like
we're going to change things
of it better than what I've heard in the past when I've been called salty in the past.
And you know what? We're going to change things because salty is a compliment.
Good. Yeah. I like it.
Bring it back, man. That's the original.
That's right. We're bringing it back.
Going retro with salt.
That's right.
Let's start a movement right here, right now.
Oh, that is fantastic. Well, congratulations again, Gary. We appreciate you giving us some insights on what it took to be a published author. And, you know, again, look forward to getting into this book myself. But before we close out, we love to talk to our guests and ask them, you know, what's your tip, your mantra, you know, related to the book, not related to the book? What have you kind of lived by or shared with people often?
Oh, yeah. So my phrase that I love, and I think it's so relevant, is create your super fantastic. And what that means is I wholeheartedly believe that all of us, we are born with a gifting. And if we work on that gift, our super, who we are as a person, we develop that, then we can really become a super person. And when we become a super person, we can create a fantastic environment, a fantastic circumstance. But it has to start with us by creating and developing ourselves and binge watching valuable stuff, even though, you know, Netflix is great, but we got to binge watch that positive, you know, valuable stuff to create a super person, to develop our gift that we all have. Everybody's got a special gift. And if we develop it, then you can create a fantastic environment. So create your super fantastic. It's all up to you. If you wait for somebody else to do it for you, you're going to be waiting a long time. So that's my huge mantra that I live by.
I like that. Create your super fantastic. Yeah.
I'm going to
try that.
It makes me think of like a superhero kind of thing. Like I need to throw a cape on, you know.
You know, I was wearing a cape earlier, but you know, for the podcast, I took it off. I
didn't okay. Well,
too much.
That's a
Jonathan. Something tells me you have a cape in your closet somewhere, buddy. Don't lie. There's you know, got to be.
Maybe it was somewhere around here. I'm just not going to divulge it.
Fantastic. Super fantastic. Yeah. Thank you.
There you go, Jonathan.
For being on the show. So how can people connect with you? Where can people find your book? Give us an update on that, please.
Absolutely. If you want to connect with me, you can find me. I've got an internet page. It's thegarygregory.com. So you can just go to thegarygregory.com. I've got a lot of information, resources on there, free resources, some of my writing samples. If you want to get a copy of the book, you can go to Amazon. Both of the books are available there on Amazon or on my website, thegarygregory.com.
Perfect. Thank you for sharing that. Yes. Can't wait to dive in. I do, you know, love what I've looked at so far and definitely endorse your books. So have at it.
I appreciate it.
Have at it. So thank you for being on the show. Mark Howell, how can people connect with you, my friend?
Yes, absolutely. So my company name, Howell Creative Concepts, is spelled a little differently, H-O-W-L, like Howell at the moon. So howellcreativeconcepts.com, or you can email me at mark@howellcreativeconcepts.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. Find me there. Find me on Facebook. Just find me, you know, like reach out. Come find me. Let's talk. I'm always interested in hearing from people like Gary and our other guests that have fascinating stories, fascinating processes that led them to where they are today and that they're willing to share that with us. And so please reach out to us and let us know if you have an idea or a topic that you'd like to talk about.
Very good. Yes. Everyone, please check out Mark's website. He is a nationally recognized property management trainer and he's very, very good at it. I have listened to him and I've taught with him and So check out his website and see what classes he has to offer. My name is Jonathan Sarr, the co-founder of Juvo Hub. This has been episode 33. We thank you, everyone. Please give us a review on iTunes or give us a thumbs up on YouTube. We appreciate your support of this complimentary education and having fantastic guests like Gary today to share his experience and how it can better our industry. So thank you, everyone. We'll see you on our next show.
Bye, guys.